Yechula Shamayim Varetz B'chal Tzvam. After 6 days of Bria, Kadosh Baruch Hu's work of Bria, Kadosh Baruch Hu's creative work, is completed. Then Rashi points out a very curious pasuk. Pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu completes his work on day 7. We thought that he completed his work in 6 days. That's the whole idea. Shabbos is the day when Kadosh Baruch Hu does no work. So how do you read that? It's such a familiar pasuk. Kadosh Baruch Hu completes it. But it goes on to right away say, Kadosh Baruch Hu shoveis b'yom ha'shvi'i. As we know from the rest of Chumash, our shavisa on Shabbos is in large part patterned after our Kadosh Baruch Hu shavisa on Shabbos. But he wasn't shoveis on Shabbos. It says, v'echal b'yom ha'shvi'i. Kadosh Baruch Hu sounds like he was wrapping things up on day 7. So Rashi gives more than one approach. For now, let's think about his suggestion that this means that it was, this is how it looked. To the human observer, if we would have been there watching, maybe to Adam and Chava, it looked as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still wrapping things up on day 7. Why is that, Rashi says? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to go to the very last moment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent, he's Kol Yachol, he's all-powerful. So he could fill the entire day 6, to the very last second of day 6, with creative activity. From the very first moment of day 7, he's resting. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu did. To us, it would have looked like he went over the line, because human beings can't be that precise. A human being is going to, if you get that close to the line, you're going to end up going over the line. And then Rashi goes on to say, so you got to wonder, so what's the significance of us knowing that? Why is it so significant for us to know, if you would have been there, it would have looked as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Malach on the seventh day. But really, he didn't. Azma, why is that such a significant point? Kimat, the first thing the Torah tells us about Shabbos is that if you would have been there, it would have looked like a Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't. You know, he was kind of close to the 18 minutes, so to speak. Well, that's the first thing we need to know. So Rashi goes on to say, well, human beings can't do that. Basar Vadam is not able to be that precise. Basar Vadam, mere mortals, have to be most of Mechol HaKodesh. We need to give ourselves a buffer because we tried to get as close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu did. We would, Rachman HaSlan, go over the line, that would be a problem. Fascinating. So the first thing the Torah tells us about Shabbos is the concept of Tosefta Shabbos. The first thing you hear about is not only is this the episode in Bereishis setting us up for all the discussion of Shabbos and Shemos and on, but you should know that you're going to have to be Mosef Mechol HaKodesh. Intriguing, that's the first thing that you hear. Where Yosef Engel sees in this a halachic conversation, perhaps for a different time, about siyagim daraisa. He points out that we usually think of the concept of the gzeira, don't do A because you may come to do B. That to us is classic drabana, the hallmark of a drabana. Yosef Engel points out most gzeiras are drabana, but there are plenty which are daraisa. He counts off, I think, 10, 15, 17, something like that, a whole slew of Gezeras Daraisa, and this is one of them. And interesting, it's the first Gezeras Daraisa, obviously, mentioned in Chumash. That's a halachic conversation for a different time. Gezeras Daraisa. But perhaps part of what the thematic significance, the fact that the Torah needs to open with this, is the following. Shabbos, as we mentioned before, Shabbos is one of the mitzvahs, which is not only a command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we do this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's one of those opportunities to do like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one of the mitzvahs, one of the few mitzvahs, where we have the opportunity of halachta bedracha. We're not just doing that which Hashem told us to do, but we're doing that which He modeled for us. We're being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our own small human way when we keep Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu paused for Shabbos, and we paused for Shabbos. It's actually a halachta bedracha. And perhaps part of what the Torah is highlighting, we just heard about Bria's Adam. And Adam is someone, the Torah is highlighting, Adam is someone of such extraordinary capacity. He's B'Tselem Elokim. He's immediately a Navi. He immediately gets mitzvos, expectations, visions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Understand, the Torah appears to be telling us, the power of a man's potential despite our limitations. The very first thing we hear after Briyas Adam, after the end of Yom HaShishi, is that we are limited in ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not. We're a mere finite creature, and He's an infinite creator. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can go up to the last moment, we're not so precise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do things, obviously, that we're entirely incapable of doing. And yet, despite our limitations, Lacht Bedrachav, despite the fact that we're mere mortals, but we're mortals who have the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who endows the Tzel Elokim, we can, in our own small way, be like Him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that potential. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that sort of expectation of us. And that sort of balance, that yeah, of course we have limitations. Of course we're mortals. We're mortals who can dream big. We're mortals who can, in our own small way, plug in to the divine model. That is absolutely the first idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell us. There's going to be a Shabbos. And your Shabbos won't be exactly HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shabbos. And yet, we'll be able to keep Shabbos in our own human way, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'Tzelem Elokim, Baras Adam. Perhaps that's why the Torah opens with the incredibly inspiring concept of Tosefta Shabbos.